Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game, and head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Johnson, what's going on? Playing a little two-man game today on Scorecard. Shane Bacon can't make it because I think he was just so wrong with his predictions last week at the PGA Championship that he decided to take the day off. But you got you and me this week, and a week in Philly has come and gone already. Blink of an eye, major championship season is 50% of the way done. And it's Aaron Rye, who everyone had winning the Wanamaker Trophy, reigning supreme there at Aronimake. I think big picture, what you take from Rye's performance there on Sunday in particular?
Well, I mean, he's clearly a guy that has to hit a lot of fairways, was not going to play well out of that rough, and it's refreshing for me. I like a demanding major championship setup. It's refreshing to see a guy that doesn't necessarily bomb it use precision and accuracy to win a major. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Brian Harman a few years back at Royal Liverpool.
Yeah, and you bring up that precision. It felt like on the back nine, in particular, those last 10 holes, he blacked out. He did not miss a golf shot. And you think about 13, he accessed that back pin location, which no one did from that front bunker. I mean, we had Cam Smith up there. We had Justin Thomas up there. You were with Xander Schauffele. He made a bogey from that bunker as well. Aaron Rye hit a pearl there. He hit a fairway wood off the tee on 15 too. And obviously the birdie on 16 and the birdie on 17 to kind of put it on ice. Johnson, what I love the most about major championships and kind of a winner like Rye is just you got 2 hours to change your life, right? He positioned himself. He had 2 hours with all these big names, everyone wanting Rom or Rory or Scotty to make a run or Xander, whoever it was. And Rye just emerging from the pack, I thought was just so, so impressive.
It was a golf course that was hard to really take it. I mean, we saw Smalley finish on Saturday, the way he kind of took that two-stroke lead into Sunday, but nobody was doing it. Rory couldn't hit any fairways. Like, he had a chance after birdie in 14. He missed the fairway on 15, missed the fairway on 16, and then 17, even with a wedge in his hand, he couldn't get aggressive, and then misses the fairway on 18. And when you look at Aaron Rye, the way he finished really the last 10 holes from 9 on, he was flawless, putting the ball in position to where he could be aggressive. Because if you're playing from out of position on that golf course, like I got to see with Rory all day on Sunday, you couldn't get aggressive. You best you could do was leave yourself 40 feet, and Rye was the only one that really said, hey, this thing's mine, I'm going to take it.
It almost felt like a Big Ten football game where field position battle, running the rock in between the tackles, not a lot of West Coast offense going on, and just biding your time until you're able to strike with a play action pass or something for 20 yards to a tight end. And that's what Aaron Rye did down the stretch. I will say I have a couple Rye stories. I think everyone knows the iron cover story, knows that he's a little bit, I would say, unorthodox, where he uses an old driver from TaylorMade. He uses that plastic tee as well to make sure that his ball is always teed up at the same length. Last year at the U.S. Open, I was following that group of Victor Hovland, J.J. Spahn at Oakmont. And, of course, you know, the practice green was also the ninth green there, split into two. And Rye was in the corner with his dad just banging away that four-foot drill that he always does on the putting greens. And I kind of just bookmarked that and was like, huh, that's pretty interesting. And then this year as well, Johnson, when Rory McIlroy and Cameron Young were going through from 9 to 10 at Augusta National, one guy on the putting green, week already over, Aaron Rye again. And you just see all these stories starting to come out from Xander Schauffele at the Scottish Open. You hear Rory McIlroy and Ludvig and Jon Rahm all talk about this guy. And it's just so cool that a lifetime of work, obviously there are guys who have been there before with the Rahms and everyone who are in contention, but a lifetime of work to materialize over that 2 hours and to answer the bell for someone who hasn't been there yet, I don't think it gets cooler in golf.
Yeah, and to your point, I'm not sure that there's anybody that works harder than him. I remember the first time I met him, it was the Bermuda Championship, I'm going to call it 2022, and I was on the second hole, and we're waiting on this guy up by the green, and he finally waves us through, and it was Aaron Rye, and he was practicing from every single position around the second green, and he was like, guys, I take forever in practice rounds, you guys go right on through, and that's what he's notorious for. He plays about 3.5 hour, 9-hole practice rounds, most of the time by himself if he can, and he just charts a golf course to perfection. I saw it on Tuesday at Aronimink in front of the 16th green. He was hitting chip shots from different positions to different hole locations that was more methodical than I've seen anybody else ever do it in my years of playing practice rounds out there. So on a golf course that not many people had much history, he put the time in and it paid off because he didn't really take a misstep on that back nine on Sunday.
Let's talk a little bit more about that back nine and that putt on 17. I saw that you went out there and tried to make it yourself. What can you tell viewers about that putt?
Well, there was two different spines, one right by his ball and then one closer to the hole that it broke early and then it broke late. And it was not as fast as I thought it was going to be. It's pretty flat, pretty level, just with the right to left pitch. I thought I killed my first one and it went just past the hole, and then I had to take a mulligan and I got real aggressive with it. It almost made it. But yeah, it's just having the speed in that situation to – he's not really trying to make that putt. He's just trying to cozy it up there to where he wouldn't have any work left for his three. It was a great putt, an iconic moment. Jim Nantz said on the telecast, when you think about this PGA Championship, it will always be thought of with that putt that he holed. And I was actually up on the green with my group when it went in, and it was so loud. I have two earbuds in. You could almost feel the ground shake. It was so loud.
Any fear of throwing that one in the water when you're standing over it?
Absolutely. I actually thought it may make better television if I did goose it by, but fortunately it did not happen. I think it was a little flinch at impact that added some loft and kind of took some of the speed off of it.
Yeah, I was there on 17 as well, just lucky enough to see J.J. Spons on 18 last year in person, and then that one too. A lot of parallels, it feels like, between those two major championships. And, of course, Rye becomes the latest first-time major winner. I've got the list in front of me. Wags, Spahn at Oakmont, Harmon at the Open, Clark, Smith, Fitzpatrick, Hideki, Lowry, Woodland, Molinari, Reed, a lot of guys with one. And for Rye to get the job done in the manner in which he did over all the Titans, I don't think anyone said the name Aaron Rye Saturday night as a potential winner.
I certainly didn't. We were doing this crossing a name off the board on this late scorecard show, and nobody crossed off Rye, but I think that just is because we weren't even thinking about him. Like, we obviously probably would have crossed him off. I didn't think, with as many people that had a chance going into Sunday, didn't think there was any way that it wasn't going to be a McIlroy, Schauffele, Rahm. Ludvig. I thought the whole time it was going to be Ludvig. I mean, that course just screamed like Ludvig, and you know, it was a shame. Another close call for him, though.
Yeah, we'll get into him and some of those other guys here in a little bit. But to put a bow on Rye, statistics for the week: 39th off the tee, second in approach, 40th around the green, and fifth in putting. Hit almost 70% of his fairways and was 66th in the field in terms of driving distance. Like you, I'm happy that we got a major championship where I think so many different skill sets were able to thrive. Because you look at this leaderboard, and I don't think the winner justifies the means when it comes to a major championship setup, which we're going to talk about a little bit. But so many different skill sets, I thought, with Rye, Smalley, Schmid, JT, Cam Smith, kind of similar with how they get the job done. And then some of the bombers, like Kitayama, hits it far. Rahm was pounding the ball off the tee this week. It's cool to see, because it seems like this day and age, Wags, you got to be long and you got to hit it far to compete in major championship golf.
I think and it's well, you do have to hit it far, but when you have a rough like a Ronnemake had, where it was this dense, thick, if it got down into the bottom, the blades were so thick you weren't able to really do anything. So it put a premium back on the fairway. And you look at Rye and you look at him on the PGA Tour, and yeah, he's been good. He's won once at Wyndham, won 3 times on the DP World Tour. They don't play any rough on the PGA Tour. I think if Rye could get in some events like Hilton Head or other venues that aren't
Yeah.
just sort of a bomber's paradise, I think you'd see a lot more consistency with him. But I think going forward with major championships, they are the only events that, other than maybe Bay Hill, that have penalizing rough. So I think the harder the golf course, the more accuracy that's required, the more you're going to see Aaron Rye's name jumping up.
And how about this guy not being in the Truest, right? Going through the Myrtle Beach Classic. If I'm Brian Rolapp, I'm sure you agree with me here. We got to up these fields to triple digit at least, like 110, 120, because Rye not being in that field at the Truest, I thought was kind of a bad look for the PGA Tour.
So he plays the Masters. He doesn't play New Orleans, plays, like you said, Myrtle Beach in the PGA Championship. So you're telling me, I know you're not telling me, but the PGA Tour this year is telling me that Aaron Rye is good enough to play, be exempt into the PGA Championship and the Masters, but he's not good enough to play Hilton Head, Doral, or Quail Hollow at the Truist Championship. It's ridiculous. I made this point on Sunday night on Scorecard, and I know Brian Rolapp is going to make this change, but it's got to be 120 with cuts. Like, Aaron Rye's a top 50 player in the world, and he can't get in. I mean, it's now he's top 15, so it's not going to be an issue. And he's a PGA champion, but it's shocking that he was in Myrtle Beach the week before.
Yeah, and a winner a couple years ago too, there at the Wyndham Championship, where it was a Monday finish for some, not all. Rye was not included with Matt Kuchar and Max Grazerman that Monday at Sedgefield Country Club. I will say this: I was just so impressed with how he carried himself down the stretch. It felt like that putt on 17. He let himself think for one moment, I had it, and then it was just like, I gotta lock back in. There's still time on the clock. Anything can happen in a major championship test. And I know us as golf fans want to see the reactions, want to see the fist pumps, but I think to be so laser focused is cool in its own right.
It's definitely cool, but I was talking with my buddy Brendan DeYoung. I was like, "What would your reaction have been on 17 in that situation?" He's like, "Oh, he's like, I probably would have spear tackled my caddy. Like, I mean, it's pretty much over. You're not going to make double. You're not going to. You can make bogey up the 18th with a one shot lead. But how about his tee shot on 18? I mean, one of the
Oh.
longest of the week for him up the hill. I know it was downwind, but I think there was any adrenaline going through his veins.
Yeah, he got Ludwig on that one too, and then I mean the drive on 16, no one was holding that fairway at all, and to hit the correct golf sh shape there, or golf shot and shape with it too. I think that was out there over 330 yards. So we talk about him being a quote unquote shorter hitter, but it's of course relative to the entirety of the game. So Aaron Rye, your 108th PGA Championship winner. I know some people were kind of lumping him into the bucket of Sean McKeel and Rich Beem and some of those guys. I'm not there, Wags. I think the quality of this guy's game is much higher than that, and I wouldn't be surprised if he gives another run, not this year or down the line, but like in general in major championship, if his name is on the first page again.
Yeah, I'm likening it more to what you said, JJ Spahn, even though I think he's a little
Yeah.
younger than what JJ was. JJ won once before coming in. Brian Harman won twice before coming into his. I think Aaron Rye's got, I think he's got staying power. I think he's got a lot of potential to play well in majors going forward. And you look at a place like Shinnecock, whew, you got to be precise out there too. So I think it wouldn't shock me at all to see him in the hunt. I'm not saying he's going to win at Shinnecock, but it wouldn't surprise me at all to see him have another chance.
What do you think the USGA is thinking after this week at the PGA Championship? You're like, we got to ramp this buddy up. And next month there at Shinnecock, make sure the winning score is like plus 100.
Well, I think that what really caused it to be so difficult is there was that overnight rain leading into Thursday, but the wind blew Thursday, Friday, even Saturday blew a different direction. But it was whipping out there, and it just dried the golf course out to a point. And we're going to get more into it with the hole locations and stuff. But yeah, now Shinnecock is fiery when there's no wind. It just needs to be firm and fast. So I don't think the USGA's got to crank that place up too much.
Yeah, I don't think so either. We're talking about signature events. We'll obviously get into the CJ Cup. Byron Nelson at the end of the show, too. Some writers there in the Dallas area, Wags, are hoping with the renovation that the CJ Cup Byron Nelson could one day be a Tier 1 event there on the PGA Tour. Aaron Rye withdrew from the field, rightfully so. So, unfortunately, won't be there in Dallas. But we're going to still talk about the PGA Championship and Ronnie Mink in general on this next segment. But first, we're going to get a break and be right back.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game, and head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
And we are back here on Scorecard, wrapping up the PGA Championship. Wags, on Wednesday's show, Shane asked you a question. Is the all-time PGA Championship scoring record going to fall? It did not, for those of you who do not know quite yet. And I'm curious to know, how do we all get it so wrong?
Yeah, I mean, especially Shane. I'm sad he's not here today. I was giving him grief the whole time about it. When I walked the golf course Tuesday, and looking at the historical numbers, like Keegan Bradley ripped it up. When I walked the golf course Tuesday and got to see the density of that rough, I knew it wasn't going to be 21 under. I think I still said it was going to be in the 14, 15 under range. And had it not been for Aaron Wright going off on those last 10 holes, playing him 6 under par, it likely could have been 6 winning. So it was... I don't know. I guess all the carry bunkers being so short, everybody thought that players would be able to just rip this place to shreds. But the wedge shots into like 11, and the wedge shots on the front nine with the hole locations where they were set up, like there weren't any like, I can breathe on this one, because there was always a bad miss to be had.
And it felt like when I was walking with some players, looking back on it, I don't know if they practiced to some of the pin locations that Kerry Haig and the PGA of America set up, and they were going through it super confident, kind of puffing their chest. I mean, it wasn't just us who got it wrong. We get our intel from some of these guys, and they were saying 12 to 16 under par range, something like 4 under every single day. I was with you. I was like, oh, 15 under par is going to win this thing. But you saw the pin positions on Thursday and Friday in particular, and I mean, these guys were puckering up from really close around the green, let alone coming into it, too.
So Wednesday, we were out for rehearsal, and I was walking up the ninth hole with Brian Harman and his caddy, Country. And Country put a tee on the front run, on the front right location on number 9, and I was like, no way. Then they didn't use this pin, but I was like, Country, there is no way they're using that whole location. He's like, I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised. So maybe Brian Harman and Country had some of them spotted, but I made that same point on Friday night. Like, the pin on 14 Friday was so brutal. How many three putts we saw? And I mean, the three putt percentage alone through three rounds, it was shocking numbers around this golf course.
Yeah, 14 in particular, the first 2 days, it felt like those pins weren't even on the green when you're on the tee box. They were pretty severe. I think those are the ones that Scottie Scheffler called quote-unquote absurd, or at least approaching there. I am curious, Johnson. Do you think something like this is the blueprint for major championships, where you have the penal rough and then, of course, the severe pin locations?
Well, I think this golf course specifically, still the original Donald Ross greens, and a lot of players said early in the week, like, yeah, those were built to run at 6 on the stimp meter, not 13 and a half or whatever championship speed was this past week. But I don't think every golf course has that sort of they were interesting. They had all of the humps and knobs and spines and ridges, and they were unique. I played a lot of Donald Ross golf courses and a lot of classic courses, and I can't remember a set of greens that were quite as complicated as these.
Yeah, it seemed like just a lot of subtleties, and the breaks weren't going in all the same direction. Like the greens weren't all back to front, and kind of like Oakmont, where you think about severe slopes on the greens. It wasn't quite like that. But I think one more thing that maybe Aronimink fell short of, it felt like the big miss was fine out there. And you see it with some of the players, like Cameron Smith hit it all across Pennsylvania on Sunday and still shot 68, I think. Justin Thomas is one of the more wild players too. I guess, where are you at with tournaments and golf courses like this where the big miss is not penalized as severely as, say, the miss just off the fairway?
I know where you're leading me with this, and it's the whole tree removal thing. And I'm with you. Like, I think the golf course looked beautiful. I like trees being on it, but I think Aronimink did it pretty well. But when you can hit a ball left on 9 and get into the trampled area and still knock it on the green, as I saw multiple people do on a 600-yard par 5, it does sort of make me think that, you know, tree-lined fairways make that big miss way more punished. And I mean, the agronomics of this place without having all the trees, the fairways were maybe the best fairways I've ever seen in my life. The green complexes, I mean, they were so true. Being out on that 17th green on Sunday night, it's just like, wow, this place is mint. I don't know that I've ever seen a golf course in better condition. And that, if you ask superintendents and architects, lack of trees means better grass.
Okay, fair enough. I think I'm pro trees, but somewhere in the middle. Not like we don't need a million trees like at Oak Hill, where the guy was just walking the fairways, dropping down at Corns back in the day, and they had just a million trees there and before the restoration by Andrew Green. So I think I'm somewhere in the middle. I understand the removal of them and kind of the trend that has been happening with golf courses and restorations. But I think the big miss still needs to be penalized a little bit more, which I thought gave guys an opportunity, like you mentioned, to miss wide and still have scoring opportunities, which I don't necessarily agree with. I feel like they should be penalized.
You think about Tiger Woods back in the day as well. Like Tiger, when you miss it outside the gallery ropes, you're on trampled down area. And so if you miss it in those spots that are further miss, you're going to have better lies, whether it's trampled down grass or hard pan. And now with the lack of trees, you can do pretty much anything you want with those shots.
Yeah, so I'm thinking like wider out, put the trees there almost, and so that at least it gives these guys something to think about, not just a clean lie from the trampled areas. What grade would you give Aronimink and I guess the course and the test it provided these guys?
Yeah, I think I give Aronimink and Kerry Haig I think I give them like a 9.1. I mean, I want to be mm-hmm. kind of more like Dave Portnoy and not like overinflated, but it was perfect. They had great weather conditions. And honestly, had it been Rahm or Ludwig or Rory or Xander or Scotty, any of those guys that had a chance, had they played the last 10 holes like Aaron Rye, I think we look at this being as like one of the greatest major championships of all time. Just because the fact that it's Aaron Rye, I think a lot of people are questioning the setup and all that stuff. But I think had one of the big names separated, we'd be looking at this from a completely different lens.
I'm 100% with you. It felt like an A+. Felt like he threw some fast balls there the first and second round. Maybe got all the horses lined up and let them run a little bit over the weekend with some of the easier pin locations. Of course, easier is, of course, relative. They're all very, very difficult. And so I think kind of just the different strategy, and like I mentioned, the different players that were able to play well around this golf course, I think is a sign of a good setup. But I know there are some people out there who are maybe watching the golf via spreadsheet and not via television, and they were disappointed with the separation across the first two rounds and how it almost turned into a quote-unquote putting contest, they've thought, through 36 holes with the pin locations. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I disagree. I mean, we saw. I love it being congested. What, 82 players made the cut? They were all within 8 shots of the lead. Like, give me excitement. And I think I applaud the PGA of America because of all the four majors, it seems like they deliver the most exciting finishes year in, year out, consistently. Maybe you get those kind of off the wall winners like a Y.E. Yang, Rich Beam, Sean McKeel, but they're exciting finishes, and it's got a great mixture of players.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think one thing I got completely wrong, and you know, some of the people I were talking to, and you hit the nail on the head at the beginning of the week, is the way the fairways kind of moved and how you were required to hit the correct golf shot into certain fairways. And I looked at them and talked to some guys. I'm like, these bad boys are why they're going to be playing from the short grass early and often. And we proved that was a big, big mistake on my end, and a lot of guys paid the price.
I mean, you think about fairways like 10, obviously 16, we talked a lot about that one, 15, 11, so much pitch. And if you put it in some of those fairways, I mean, in all on the front nine, all those dog legs with the wind going the opposite direction on 2, on 6, on 7, like they were, I agree, they were wide, but it proved to be difficult to hit, like the 7th fairway on Sunday with the wind kind of flop, gusting back and forth. A lot of players down on that left rough with no chance to get close.
And we'll talk about some more guys here after the break, including someone like Rory McIlroy, who could not find a fairway there on Sunday, potentially upending his chances there at the PGA Championship. But we'll get into some winners and losers like Jon Rahm, Ludvig Åberg, some bigger names from the PGA Championship after a quick word here.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Ladies and gentlemen, back here on Scorecard, Johnson Wagner, Patrick McDonald, Aaron Rye, of course, is the lone winner of the Wanamaker Trophy out of 156 players. But Johnson, I feel like some other guys are coming away from the week in Philly feeling good about themselves. And I want to start with Jon Rahm, a guy who there's been a lot of noise around following what's going on with LIV Golf. He has a horrible Masters, finishes T2 at 6 under. Had a real opportunity there on Sunday, was in the thick of it. He was kind of the guy, it felt like, that this tournament had to go through. If you're Jon Rahm walking away from this golf tournament, what are you feeling right now?
I think you're feeling a lot of confidence that it's been a while. I know Quail Hollow last year at the PGA, he had a much better chance than the result ended up. I mean, he didn't birdie 14, 15 and had to fire on some tough holes. But I think Jon Rahm, he's going to look at that back nine. I mean, super clean, the hot start. I think he's feeling like come Shinnecock time, the more difficult the course gets, the better Jon Rahm does. And Patrick, for me, like when you watch Jon Rahm compete, he has that look in his eye, and it's scary. And he had that look this weekend, and it was – I wasn't playing against him, so it was fun to see, not scary.
No, I'm with you. He looks angry. He looks serious, and you just know he's locked in. And it felt like for the first time in probably a year since that PGA Championship, he had it. And it was – golf's just so much better when a guy who has a presence about himself is playing himself – into the mix. I thought there were probably a couple loose swings there on the front nine. The wedge on 3 was a killer. A really poor drive there on 7-2. Got lucky with the drive on 4, but I'm with you. If I'm Rahm, I'm feeling awesome about my game. You just get beat sometimes. And Rye went berserk shooting 6 under. Guy had to shoot 6 under on his last 10 holes to beat you in the PGA Championship. So I'm feeling good. So someone who someone who might be feeling good, might not be feeling good, you'll never know based on his look, is the guy who played with Aaron Rye, Ludvig Åberg, just cool, calm, and collected at all time. Another good major start, but another opportunity gone by the wayside for him. Seems like he's had three or four really good chances to win a golf tournament so far this year, and it has not happened. I know we both liked him at the onset of the week. I liked him going into Sunday too. And just another opportunity gone for Ludd, unfortunately.
He had four bogeys in an eight-hole stretch right in the middle of his round, right when he should have been taking it and grabbing control of this golf tournament. The bogeys on 7, 8 was brutal, but still 10 was tough. But they were short misses. And then on 17, on a hole location that nobody's going after, I saw Rory McIlroy hit a wedge 30 feet right of the 17th hole. I watched Ludvig and the group behind it take it right at it and hit it over the back of the green. He ended up getting that up and down. But, like, come on. Like, I don't – all the short putts, and I don't think he's too aggressive, but there was no reason to go firing at that pin. I applaud it, but the only way to get it close would have been to one-hop it off the stick.
Yeah, I think that was just a YOLO ball. Like, I'm out of this golf tournament. Aaron Rye just went 70 feet right of it. I'm going to take this on. When we saw that, I was on the tee box. When we saw that line compared to Rye, we're like, what the hell is this guy doing right now? Just going straight on it. So that was Ludd's 10th major start. Some other notables for how long it took him to win a major championship. I believe Scotty was 10, Rory 11, JT, I think 10, and Jordan 9. I think the difference there is the age, of course. Those guys were all super young. Ludd's turning, 27 this fall? So a little bit older than those guys. Do we have to preach patience with Ludvig, or is it time to get on his case a little bit?
I mean, I'm still preaching patience. He's been putting himself in the mix of these big events, and I'm not ready to have the conversation that he can't close, because it's just the simple mistakes, the short miss on 10, you got to clean that up. I actually had a conversation with somebody. When you look down the world rankings, how many people in that top 20 in the world use a mallet headed putter? I kind of wonder if maybe we see Ludvig try something like that.
The short misses are bad. The short miss, he just jams them. It gets really quick. It feels like he speeds himself up. And I thought playing with Rye would kind of slow him down a little bit, since Rye is very methodical. But unfortunately did not. Let's kick it to the group you had Sunday. I know you were pumped to follow Rory and Xander. What did you take from their final rounds in particular, and kind of their week as a whole?
Well, I mean, I learned a lot about how difficult these greens are to putt, and Rory just did not put himself in position to attack very often. So he was leaving himself 40 feet. Seemed like every putt was coming up onto a tabletop. His speed was wonderful. Like, he, from where he hit it, it was really impressive that he was able to shoot one under par with just the one bogey there on 13, which he hit 5-wood and left it in a terrible spot right over towards the 15th. The 15th hole. And I think Rory's good. Xander showed me a lot of fight. Xander Schauffele got kind of behind the eight ball early, just kept fighting, birdied 9, and then continued to birdied 18 as well. Like, even when I thought he was down and out and we weren't really showing him on the coverage, he was grinding, and it was really a blast to watch those two try to dismantle a golf course with driver length, but neither hit enough fairways to do so.
Rory hit, four fairway woods off the tee on Sunday, and I think he missed the fairway every single time. Is that correct?
He definitely hit fairway wood on 6, hit fairway wood off of, no, he hit 11. Driver off of 11. Did he hit fairway wood off 11? He may have 13.
I think so.
And then 16 was shocking to me, because he had been hitting a draw with the driver all day long, and that had been his miss. And I was expecting him to just absolutely lace one down the 16th fairway, and he hung this way out to the right. Just looked uncomfortable with swing, and I was on the range for an hour before he showed up, and right at an hour before his tee time, hit so many balls. I've never seen him have such a long warm up. And Xander, I was wondering if Xander was even going to come hit balls. He showed up 22 minutes before his tee time, so you couldn't have had a bigger difference in the way they went about it. But Rory seemed concerned. He was looking at TrackMan way more than I've ever seen him before around. He was looking over at the big T-Mobile Jumbotron at their numbers and comparing their numbers for him with his numbers. So something seemed off from the very beginning with Rory. But he fought hard, and Really putted beautifully, just nothing went in because he never had good opportunities.
Yeah, he did, and kind of a continuation of this version of Rory McIlroy, where he doesn't have his best stuff even on a firm, difficult golf course. He's able to get the ball around. A couple guys who I'm going to lump together: Justin Thomas, a clubhouse leader for a while there, much longer than I expected, with a 5-under 65, and then Cam Smith too. Johnson, two guys who are of course major winners. But major championships have been brutal, especially for someone like Smith. He was the only player in 2025 to miss all four cuts in the major championships. Good to see Smith and JT playing good golf on these more difficult tests.
Cam Smith, when he left for LIV in 22 after winning both the Players and the Open Championship that year, I was distraught because distraught's a little harsh. I truly enjoy him as a person, him as a player. Obviously, the word has been that, you know, he'd rather be on his boat and hanging out than playing golf and practicing. But Amanda Baleona spoke to his Ripper teammate, Mark Leishman, during the telecast, and she told us during a commercial break that Mark Leishman said last week when they were playing in just outside D.C., LIV Golf Virginia, that it was the first time in like 4 years he had seen the old Cam Smith. So hopefully we have that to look forward to. I know he got a new coach or went back to his old coach as well. So I think the world of golf is a better place. I mean, remember when he came out, Chambers Bay, I think he ended up finishing third to Jordan Spieth there in 2015. And he was just wildly fun to watch, rolls his rock, chips it great, has a little bit of style about him, and he's a great interview.
Yeah, I believe after the Masters, he dumped his old coach, with which he's been with for years and years, and went to Claude Harmon. Everyone's using Claude to streamline their work processes, and Cam Smith the latest. Finally, though, Justin Thomas, Wags, seems like every 4 years he's got a chance to win a PGA Championship. Great final round there with a 5-under 65. What you make of it?
I thought it was incredible. I'm sitting there watching him finish on my monitor as Rory's about to tee off, and the fist pump and the reaction when he made that par on 18 just was incredible. He's such a competitor. It's like Jordan Spieth. It's like all these guys. We need the Justin Thomases of the world to play a little bit more consistently, because it's just tournaments are more fun when they're in the mix.
And for someone who struggled on the greens, it felt like he was never missing that par putt on 18. When he has that look on in the eyes, kind of like Ryder Cup on 18, if I have a couple guys I have an opportunity to make a 15-footer for me with everything on the line, JT, I think, is going to be one of them for me. But that'll put a bow on the PGA Championship. All the winners, all the losers, everyone in between. It's CJ Cup, Byron Nelson week. Wags, I know you are pumped. We're going back to TPC Craig Ranch. We'll get into all of it after the break.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
And we're back here on Scorecard. Johnson, I don't have many rules in life, but I have one. Anytime you can attach a Korean conglomerate to a golfing legend's name, you simply have to. The CJ Cup, Byron Nelson, taking place this week. TPC Craig Ranch. I believe it's number six for the golf course. Winning score always something in the mid-20 under par, birdie fest. But Lanny Watkins and crew came in, tried to give this place a little bit more bite. What can you tell us about the ranch?
Well, they put anywhere from $22 to $25 million into this project. And as you know, this time of year in Texas, it can be so hit or miss with the kind of winter you had. So the fairway conditions, the fringes, they've always really struggled with this date there. But they decided to go back with the exact same kind of zoysia grass, I believe. It's definitely zoysia. And bent grass on the greens. There's a cool feature. My favorite thing about this golf course is there's a cool feature. It's called Rowlett's Creek that goes through, kind of meanders through both the back nine and the front nine. And it was always like troubling. Like, why didn't they use this more? You cross it about 17, maybe 18 times, but it doesn't really come into play on many tee shots or greens. And so apparently they have moved a lot of green complexes down a little bit closer to Rowlett's Creek. So I'm excited to get out there. I'm going to walk the course on Thursday and check it out. Cause I've talked to Greg Galbraith. He's one of the Salesmanship Club guys of Dallas. They run this event and have for decades. He said it's a big change and everybody seems to enjoy it so far.
I believe Lanny is looking for a score somewhere around 15 under par, kind of like us at Aronimink. So we'll see if that holds true or not. But I really like the third hole in particular, that one you speak about, that creek. That's the one I think is on the PGA Tour app every time you open it, which is funny enough. But some of those green complexes, they blew up. And as you see here, this is one of them, with kind of careening down the left side and then over the creek. So maybe there is a little bit more bite, but I'm still skeptical. And I think by your face, you're a little skeptical too, that this winning score is going to be not in the 20 under par range.
It's definitely going to be the 20 under par range. I was just looking at the weather forecast before the show as well, just to see what I needed to pack. And it looks like a chance of thunderstorms every day. Thursday looks like it could be a complete washout. So it's going to be soft. It's going to be gettable, even though it's brand new. Usually you think brand new courses are firm and fast. I'm not expecting that after just checking out the weather forecast.
And we went through all the PGA Championship talk without the world number one for one reason. Maybe it's because I'm just a bad host and I forgot about Scottie Scheffler, but he's coming in after tying the all-time scoring record on the PGA Tour, 31 under last year, won by 8 strokes over, I think it was Erik van Rooyen, I believe. I could be wrong on that one. Scottie's got the odds. They put it in here for me. Scottie Scheffler is plus 170 to win this golf tournament. The Cleveland Cavaliers are plus 215 tonight against the Knicks. I know Troy likes the Knicks tonight, even paying that steep price tag. Is Scottie going to run away with this, or is there still concern maybe about the short-range putting and maybe some a little bit of the iron play too?
His iron play, I walked with his group Saturday and he was amazing. Drove the ball great. Iron play was spectacular. Short game was not as tight as I'm used to seeing, but the putting, he had chance after chance on that back nine to really grab the PGA Championship by the collar and make it his own. And he just couldn't hold the putts. I think getting back to a place that he's won at in a, you know, close to home, greens and weather he's a little bit more familiar with, I think it's going to be I think the putting's going to be just fine. I think it was Doral and Aronimink, just the grain changes and the difficulty of those greens that just set Scotty back just a bit.
Yeah, some flatter greens this week. I think Lanny was saying the approach putting is where guys are going to have to maybe think a little bit more this week. Scotty is one of two players inside the top 20 in the OWGR in the field. That's Siwoo Kim. We've got Jordan Spieth, of course, Dallas native, played great in this event last year. Brooks Koepka as well, some past champions like Taylor Pendrith too. So we're going to get into our picks, our who can't win. I know who's going to be on WAG's list. Who can win? You might see a surprise addition there on mine, and into some of those names as well after a quick word.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And we're back here on Scorecard Johnson. Another name not mentioned when talking about the PGA Championship, which is tough to do. Jordan Spieth hit the ball well, putted horribly the last 54 holes. I know I'm the president of the Blade Brigade, but man, I would love to see a mallet in his hand, I think, especially with all the short misses. Coming back to a comfortable place, of course, playing in front of the home crowd there in Dallas. What do we think of Spieth this week?
I think he's got a chance, but I'm still just not quite seen enough to think he can win. I mean, he's had 7 top 25s, though, hasn't missed a cut this season. So consistency is getting there, but it's like not top level consistency enough to think that he can handle being in the lead you know, all day Sunday or all weekend.
Yeah, it just feels like he's spinning plates right now, and every time he pays attention to one thing, the other two crash, or and vice versa. So I'm kind of with you. Who do you think can win this week at TPC Craig Ranch?
I've got, I mean, obviously the defending champion, Scotty Scheffler, I think can win. Siwoo Kim is playing some just incredible golf, lives in the area. I think Siwoo's got a great chance to win. And Mike Brennan, off the radar here. Mike hits the ball a long, long way. This golf course is a bomber's paradise.
You think Siwoo can make enough putts? You're not nervous about what he's going to do on the greens?
Not at all. This is going to be Siwoo's week, maybe.
Okay, fair enough. I have a couple of random names as well. Eric Cole, the Cole Train, played great in Myrtle Beach, playing in some of those alternate field events, playing some good golf. Chandler Blanchet, when he's in your group there on Sunday, just know it's pronounced like that. We, little side story here, we call him the retirement plan because one of my buddies has a piece of him through one of those syndicates, kind of investing golfers. And somehow Blanchet is one of his guys. So we call him the retirement plan. Had a hole in one there at Quail Hollow. Seems like he always has some cool shot over the weekend, but he's making it to the weekend. And then Wags, I know you're gonna love this pick. Wyndham Clark is on my win list.
Did his agent reach out to us and have to and said somebody's gotta put him on there?
They reached out to me through through Instagram DMs, where I know Wyndham is active these days. But who's on your can't win list?
Well, I Wyndham Clark for sure.
I got you. You're at a loss for words right now.
Shane and I talked about it last week. He thinks that I can continue to ride Wyndham until the U.S. Open, and then once the U.S. Open's done, I can't do it anymore. I'm also going with Brooks Koepka. I just don't see Big Dog putting good enough to do anything this week. And then I gotta drag Garrett Higo under the bus as long as I can. Just missing his tee time, firing his caddy of a little over a year, Austin Gaugert. Yeah, I don't. It's not the caddy's fault. He told you that. You were running late and you didn't get down there. But Siwoo's my winner. Who do you have on can't win?
I'm with you on Koepka. I don't think he's going to be making enough putts. Matty Schmid. We talked about winners from the PGA. Him and Alex Smalley getting the invite to the Masters by playing well. But Matty Schmid, I don't think he'll carry it. And then Keith Mitchell. I think he's got one eye on a job post golf with all these. Broadcast hits he's doing, which he's doing well, mind you. He's great at it, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's interviewing or walking the course on Saturday, Sunday as a on-course reporter. So they're on my can't win, and as for my can win, this one's just for you. Wyndham Clark is going to get back into the winner circle, and I think Wags, you're going to be the one walking with him on Sunday. That's what I'm praying. Fingers crossed. But that's all we have for you guys today. You can watch the CJ Cup Byron Nelson this weekend, Saturday and Sunday at 3 p.m. on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Paramount Podcasts.